So I like questions like this. Makes you remember, makes you think back to something good that happened, hopefully something good that happened in your marriage. You may have shared like the most tragic vacation you've ever been on, I don't know. But hopefully you shared something good. The reason I wanted to start with this is because marriage is like this, right? It's like one big, I wouldn't call it a vacation necessarily, but like a journey, right? We're all on this journey together, and within our marriage, we take on different roles. And sometimes you've got somebody that's the planner. They're going in a certain direction. They make sure everything's going right. And then sometimes there's somebody that's just like wheels off all the time. They're going to have fun. This is going to make it. Hey, all right. You know, they don't have a plan. They don't do anything. I won't tell you which one I'm at in our marriage and which one Kathleen is. You can try to figure that out for yourself. We would never get anywhere if it was up to me. Let's just put it that way. But what we want to do is just look at that, and just, I wanted you to just get in that thought process of thinking about that, because really going on a vacation is a lot like building a house, right? Somebody's got to plan it. Somebody's got to come up with a thought process. And then it's a journey. You go through all of the different steps in building, and somebody wants to keep adding things in and doing something one way, and you both have a different vision of what the house is going to look like at the end, right? I mean, and you gotta work together to get there. So we started this series, Blueprint for Biblical Marriage, last week. And what I talked about last week was that God designed marriage. So He is the ultimate architect for marriage. He's also the foundation for marriage. And we looked at this passage in Matthew. I'm going to read it again for you. It says, He answered. This is when the Pharisees, remember, come to Him. And they're questioning Jesus about divorce. Can you get a divorce? And He says, have you not read that He created them from the beginning, made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And what He's doing there is He was pointing the Pharisees back to the very beginning, back to Genesis. Back to what happened at the beginning, the way God designed marriage. This is how He set it up. And then after that, they come and say, but hold on. Moses, remember him? You know, like he was like the man to them at that point. Jesus is just some other guy that's coming along. They said, but Moses, the ultimate prophet, he allowed us to get a divorce. What's up with that? And then Jesus comes and says to them this. He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So, what He's saying is that God joined them together and let no man separate them, because from the beginning, it was not so. And so we talked about that, about letting not man separate your marriage. You know, that's the big thing that you hear at weddings. Is anybody here doesn't want this to happen? But it'll speak now or forever hold their peace. And we have these visions of what that looks like. Somebody's running in. Somebody's trying to steal your spouse. All these sort of things. But then we camped out on the fact that that person, that man that could be trying to put a wedge, could be you, could be me, right? I shared with you a pretty personal story for me about a struggle that I have in our marriage with depression. And this is something that we only just recently kind of came to and discovered. But I think that it's been plaguing me probably for the entirety of our marriage. I looked at it as I'm a people pleaser. But what would happen is, as I'm trying to go out and please people, really trying to make everybody happy no matter what, nobody can have a bad day around me, what that's doing in the process is making me depressed. And that depression was having me check out on our marriage. I was escaping. I was running away. And so that's a trial that we have faced in our marriage. So today, I'm not going to try to keep it all gloomy. So we're going to try to offer some encouragement and some hope. And what I want you to walk away with today is to be encouraged that if you've got a trial in your marriage, you're not alone. Because if you have problems, if your spouse has changed since the day that you married them, remember I showed the pictures of me and Kathleen and it looks great, right? And we're all prince and princess, and it's a fairy tale, and it's going to be perfect. It's all yay. And then you wake up the next day, and you're like, okay, wow, this isn't a fairy tale. Like, is it going to really be happily ever after? I'm not sure. And so, you know, we realize that we change, and then we have kids, and life happens, and it's not turning out the way that we want it to. And so we start to look around and say, man, what do I do now? Everybody else has a fairy tale marriage. I mean, I look at their Facebook feed. It's great. You know, but I don't. What's wrong with me? Well, I want to offer you some encouragement. One of the big reasons that Homefront exists, one of the reasons that we created this group, obviously for biblical teaching, right? But secondarily, because we want there to be community. We want you to come into this room and know that this is a place where you can be open and honest, and you can sit down across the table from somebody else that also has problems in their marriage. I mean, look around. Look at the people next to you. Look across the table. That person you're looking at, they've got problems in their marriage. You know, no matter what their Facebook feed says, they've got problems in their marriage. So community is important. And we believe that one of the ways that that Satan really tries to break up marriages is he convinces us that that if we have a problem in our marriage, or if there's a problem in our spouse, if there's something wrong with them, right? Not me. Something wrong with them. If there's a problem, that means that we made a mistake. We married the wrong person. Yeah, I should have never married that one. It couldn't have been God's plan. This couldn't have been the blueprint for my life. I pulled the wrong blueprint out of the bucket. This isn't right. And so we start to look for a way to escape, to try to get out of it. And you might actively even have sought an actual divorce. Or maybe you're like me and I'm just going to check out. I'm just going to escape. So we all struggle, but that's true of every marriage. That's true of everybody in this room. Like, I'm going to tell you guys, everybody's had those doubts. I know that you're sitting here thinking, you think, oh, I shouldn't even think that. I can't think that. I'm a Christian. Well, guess what? So am I. And I have those doubts every now and again. The difference with us is that we have a biblically based marriage. We have biblically based marriages. We're looking at it as God is the foundation, and we're going to trust in that. We're going to rest in that foundation no matter what happens. And so when we come together at Homefront, we realize that we're not alone and that other marriages struggle like we do. And so this morning what we're going to do is I'm going to use a buzzword. We laugh with Mike Myers because there's all these buzzwords that you use in business today, right? But I'm going to use one. We're going to lean in. We are going to lean in to our trials and our struggles. And by leaning in, then we're going to lean on God. And we're going to lean on His design for our marriage and His foundation. So it's His sovereignty that brought us together, right? You may think that you brought your marriage together. Guys, I know you may think that you were just the stuff. And you know, you got her. You want her? No. I'm looking at most of you, trust me, there's no way that that's the case. So in His sovereignty, He brought you together and He designed a blueprint for marriage. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. So if our blueprint is solid, if the foundation is solid, and we know that, right? What happens when the construction process starts happening? The house starts to go up. And construction goes awry a little bit. A storm comes along. Construction process gets delayed. They find out that there's a problem with the way that you're putting things together. And that you want to change it. You want to change the blueprint. You want to make the room look different. And the architect's saying, it's not going to work. It's not on the blueprint. What do you do? So this morning, what we want to do is we want to encourage you to trust the blueprint, to trust the one who designed the blueprint, that He designed marriage, and in His sovereignty, He's brought you together with your spouse. So when trials come along, instead of looking for a way out or a way to escape or a way to check out, what we want you to do is to learn to lean into God and what He's doing in your marriage, what He's doing in you, what He's doing through you, and allow Him to be sovereign in your marriage. And so, while the Bible technically has a way out, right? He's got the exception clause that everybody wants to point to. And let me just say this. You can turn that into just about anything. Remember, because right after this, he says, well, except for sexual immorality, right? Well, I can start to really play with that semantically. What is that? So even though there may be an out clause, and it may be okay, Jesus has pointed us back to the original design, and that's where we need to focus. We don't need to focus on the exception. We need to focus on the foundation. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. What would it look like if we all focused on the foundation? If everybody in the church said, divorce isn't an option. It's not an option. If we all just took a hardline stance on that, what would the marriage rate look like in our nation? If that's the way people viewed it. What would it look like in the church at large? What would it look like at RBC? What would it look like in Homefront? What would it look like in your marriage if that was your mindset? Well, the answer is easy, right? It'd make a huge difference. If there's no way out, then you gotta look at how do I figure this out? How do I work with this? And then you start to realize, I can't figure it out. I can't do it. I can't jimmy-rig this thing to work. I have to rely on God. I have to rely on God to change me. I have to rely on God to change my spouse. I have to rely on Him to do only the things that He can do in order to make the blueprint successful. So we can't do it, but He can. So how does He do that? Well, sometimes He allows us to experience trials. Sometimes He allows us to go through a storm. Sometimes He allows that thing that you don't want to be happening to happen. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to try to get practical with that. So what do you do with that? And so I can't get practical by myself because I'm not the practical one in my family. I know that surprises you all. And so I'm going to ask Kathleen to come up here. She's the one with the wisdom in our family. She's the planner. She helps with everything. So I'm going to ask her to come up and join me. And I shared last week I shared a trial that I went through, but obviously that didn't just affect me. It affects her as well. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to share with all of you kind of some practical, real experience from where we sit on how God has helped us work through those trials and what are some of our go-tos for when we're going through trials.
Hello. Is this on? Can you hear me? So we were talking through this, like leading up to last week when Greg taught by himself, and then this week leading up to when he said I had to come up here with him. And we were talking about, we were just kind of recapping and replaying it, and I kind of told him, it's a little cliche to just say, like, oh, you got to lean on God. Like, you need to make God your foundation.
I went home, and I said, what did you think? She said, well, what was the point? Like,
so we're tying it all together. If you weren't...
Thank you. Thank you.
If you weren't here last week, it's okay because we're tying it all together.
If you ever want a trial in your marriage, just volunteer to teach on marriage. Pretty much, it'll come.
So we do want to be just kind of practical and say, and we don't want to be cliche, and we're not, we have been in marriage ministry since we got married. I think we're actually engaged, and we were asked to help lead.
Not because we wanted to be.
So I'm just saying, we've been doing this for a long time. We're not naive enough to think that there aren't people in this room right now who are having very serious trials in their marriage. And I know Greg is a lot of fun, but I just want to make sure that you know, like we know some of you are going through hard stuff. Some of you, we know what it is. Some of you maybe haven't shared it yet. But we really do want you to know that you're not alone. If there is a struggle in your marriage, you are not alone. We all have struggles in our marriage. And if there is a struggle in your marriage, it does not mean that you married the wrong person. It does not mean that you made a mistake. It does not mean that you need to look for a way out. And what we want to encourage you with this morning is that God is doing something. He is doing something in your marriage. He's doing something in each of you individually and also in your marriage and as a family. And that's what we mean when we say we need to lean into it. When there is a trial in our marriage, instead, when we have that perspective, rather than thinking, oh, I made a mistake, or how can I get out of this, or like, oh my word, how is this going to work out? If we can learn to have that perspective from the Lord of just stopping and asking why, like, what is God doing? What is he trying to do in our marriage? What is he trying to do in me? And how is he going to use this? And so I just wanted to share two verses, two passages that have been an encouragement to me, not just in marital trials, but really when we're having a struggle in our marriage, it's not exactly the same, but it falls into that category just of trials and challenges in general. And the Bible has a lot to say about how we are to respond to trials. So in James, I'm sure you're all familiar with this passage, James 1, 2 through 5. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. This is obviously just a passage that I like to cling to when I'm going through any kind of trial, but particularly, you know, Greg and I were talking through some of the trials that we've had in our marriage, and just, again, to be very real and transparent.
We've had more than one? Oh.
To be very real and transparent, the most recent trial for us has been this process of identifying that depression really is a struggle and has been a struggle for Greg. And for me, going through that process of like identifying it and realizing it and kind of confronting it together and really just kind of a mourning process, like mourning the loss of things that I had thought or like certain perceptions that I had, and then just moving forward together. And so to apply this passage to that situation, just realizing, again, God in his sovereignty brought us together. He knew that this was going to be a part of our marriage, and he either planned or allowed that for me. And he has a plan to use that in my life to make me mature, that I may be perfect and complete, which is maturity, lacking in nothing. Because that's God's ultimate plan for all of us, is to make us more like his son. And he will use the trials in our lives, including the trials in our marriages and the differences we have with our spouse that irritate us or that we wish was a different way. He will use that if we will let him to refine us and to make us more mature and more like his son. And I also wanted to share is this Romans 8, 28 and 29. Again, I'm sure it's a very familiar passage. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So again, this is just a passage that I like to cling to when I'm going through a trial. And I like, when you're going through a trial, it's like time to put your money where your mouth is. Like, we could probably all quote this passage or at least paraphrase it, but do we really believe it? Do we really believe that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose? Do I believe that Greg's depression works together for my good, for our good? And at the end of the day, like, we have to say, God, I believe that you are in control. I believe that this is part of your plan for me somehow, and that somehow you will use this for my good and for your glory. And again, that part of his purpose is that we be conformed to the image of his son. So anyway, we just wanted to share that practically speaking. And there's no like three-step formula of how to do that. Just more of an encouragement this morning that if there's something hard going on in your marriage, and if there's not now, there probably will be at some point. And maybe it's that you're in a good place right now, but you know somebody else going through a hard time. Maybe this will allow you to encourage them. But just a reminder and encouragement to lean into it and ask God, like, how do you want to use this? you know, what are you doing here? Give me wisdom, like it said in James. Give me the eyes to see how you're going to use this. And help me to just trust you that you know what's best and that you're in control. And I just want to share with you that there really is peace, and there's just a lot of peace in resting, like submitting yourself and surrendering yourself to God's authority and his sovereignty, and saying, like, I don't know. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why you would allow such and such, but I'm just going to trust that you're in control, that you're working all things together for our good, and that you're going to use these trials to make us more mature and more complete. So anyway, I hope that's encouraging to y'all this morning.
So for me, most of the time, Kathleen's perfect, but every once in a while, you know, I'll have to lean in as well. And there's a couple of passages of scripture that really helped me out. So like Kathleen said, when we started out our marriage, we were going to a large church in Texas. And the picture, if you remember from last week, there was a picture of us getting married and there was a pastor there. Well, that pastor was a good friend of mine. He was actually the son of our senior pastor in Texas. And he led the marriage ministry. So like as soon as we got married, he's like, cool, I can put you guys in leadership. We're like, we've been married a week. He's like, it's okay. And so, boom, there we were, which is good and bad. But what it allowed us to do is to get involved with some really cool people that had been doing marriage ministry for a really long time. And rather than hear them once a week, a lot of times we were with them in planning meetings or we were with them on offsites, and we were just around them, and it was tremendous. And a few years in, we started running a Bible study called Two Becoming One. And we did some of that. And we would have couples in a class like this. And we would always offer up, hey, if you want to grow in your marriage, come to this class. Well, we had one couple that was there with us. I can't remember their names. No, the other couple. They don't know anyway. You don't know them. The Smiths. And the Smiths, they were really, really, like, really struggling. They were about to get divorced, and they had two little kids, and our heart broke for them. And so we started meeting with another couple, the Cutlers. I do remember their name. And Daryl Cutler in particular. We would go over to Daryl and Alice's house once a week. And I know the story's getting longer. But we would go over to their house, and we would have this Bible study that was meant for the Smiths, but I think we probably got more out of it than they did. And one of the things I can remember hearing Daryl say over and over again, we went through this passage, and this is in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And I'd read that 100,000 times, especially as a single guy, and woman is a weaker vessel. And Daryl brought this out. You know, he's looking at Kathleen, and for those of you who know Kathleen, there's really not a whole lot weak about her. She is a very strong woman and strong-willed. And, you know, Daryl looks at me, and he's like, so this does not necessarily mean she is weaker than you. Or weaker physically, weaker mentally, weaker than you. What he said is, if you look at the words that are used there in the original text, it's really talking about, he said, it's like a fragile vessel. He said, I equate it to fine china. You were to treat your wives like fine china. And so sometimes when we're in a trial, and oftentimes Kathleen is not afraid to share her opinion, and I may say, we're going this direction. She's like, that's a bad idea. And I'm thinking, but I'm the man, you know. But I go back to this, weaker vessel, fine china. Like, I can't treat her like I would Derek in our Bible study. Hey, Derek, that's a dumb idea, man. You don't want to do that. You know, I'm going to treat her differently. And that really helps me because it starts to put into context in a biblical way the way that I'm supposed to interact with my wife, which can in turn start to shift the way that I feel about my plan or my direction or my idea, and we can come together. The other one that I look at is, you hear this in almost every marriage thing that you ever go through, but it's Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And the part that I focus on there is that he gave himself up for her. And when I look at that, I don't just think about the way that he physically gave himself up for us, but the way that he emotionally gave himself up for us, the way that he gave up his status for us. I mean, this is the king of the universe, right? That decided to come down in this little lowly man-like vessel that didn't have a home, that only had one set of clothes, and then to give up his entire life. But that's the way that I'm to love my wife. That's challenging. That's hard. You know, that helps you when you're trying to look for a way out. Looking for a way out isn't giving myself up for my wife. Looking for a way out is giving up for me. Like, that's selfishness. And so those are two of the passages of Scripture that help me. Again, the point of all of this is that there is a blueprint for marriage. It's found in Scripture. It's here, guys. This is like the handbook. And the verse that you lean on, the verse that you lean into, the Scripture that you lean into, the God that you lean into, doesn't have to be cliche marriage help seminar. That might work for you. It might be the Ephesians 5 passage, but it might also be count it joy, trials of various kinds. I don't know what it is for you, but if you're not in the Word, if you're not looking at the blueprint, I would highly encourage you to do that. Because if you're not looking at the blueprint, you're going to put a wall where it doesn't need to go. And that's literally and figuratively. It's going to go up. And it's not meant to be there. So tear it down, go back to the blueprint, and focus in on it. So really, to wrap up, we just want to encourage you that trials in your marriage, they're going to come. It's normal. It's normal to wish things were different. It's normal to wish your spouse was different. And it's normal for your spouse to change. We don't all stay the same. If your spouse is staying the same all year, it'd get boring. So that's normal. So when it all comes down to it, we can choose to reject God's design for our marriage. We can choose to reject His blueprint by either like leaving physically or leaving emotionally. Or we can try to lean into what He's doing in our lives. To lean into the way He has designed our marriage. And resign ourselves, not in a bad way, right? But resign ourselves in a good way to following His design and to surrendering our expectations and to submitting to His work in our marriage and in our lives and trusting that He's going to use the trials in our marriage to make us perfect and complete, like Kathleen was sharing, to make us mature, to make us lacking in nothing. Remember, that trial might be building some area up in you that equips you for something that's years down the road that you're able to handle in your marriage. So, what we want you to hear from us this morning is that you're not alone. We have trials. We have doubts in our marriage. The other couples at your tables have trials in their marriage. They have doubts in their marriage. But God, the ultimate designer, the ultimate blueprint maker, and the ultimate foundation is there for you to lean on, for you to build on, to encourage you. So be encouraged this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for trials, even though we don't want them. We thank you for giving them to us. We thank you for using them for our good and your glory. Lord, we ask that as we experience trials, we realize that we're not alone. We realize that we have a support system here in this room. Father, we ask that you allow us to see the support that you've given us in the blueprint through your word. We ask that you allow us to lean into that. We pray that as we spend time at our tables this morning, that you allow us to be encouragement to one another. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.